seats. Now, the first verse there, as I said, reminds us of the great truth that the creator of those very stars overhead was laid in an animal feeding trough. The second verse then goes on to say, no crying he made. Now, I'm not sure whether that's true. Because, yes, Jesus was the Son of God. He was perfect. He never sinned. But he was really human. He was really human. He really experienced everything that we experience as humans, including all the traumas of being a helpless baby. And so, like any other baby, I'm pretty sure he would have screamed and cried. And that is the remarkable thing about Christmas, isn't it? That the creator of the whole world humbled himself to become a man. Born in an animal shelter and growing up to suffer in this messy world. And that's what I want to spend some time thinking about now. Because Christmas is great, isn't it? We love Christmas. And I think if you're here this morning, I'm guessing that you agree with me. There may be a few Scrooges amongst us here who've been dragged along. No nudging the person next to you now. But I'm assuming that if you're here this morning, that you like Christmas. We love Christmas because it's cozy, it's familiar, it's tasty, it's sociable, it's joyful, it's comfy, it's festive, it's family, it's turkey, it's tinsel, it's merry. It's just a bit of fun. And then it's over for another year. And maybe you're left thinking, is that it? Is that what Christmas is all about? Does it need to be any more than that? Well, I think Christmas actually reveals a lot about us. Because the way we celebrate Christmas reveals that deep down, we all want a little more from life, don't we? Because the way we celebrate Christmas reveals that our day-to-day lives just don't cut it. That we're not content. So people decorate their houses with lights to make it look a bit more special. We head out to the shops to buy that great gift that we know our friend or family is desperate for. And we buy all the food and drink that for the rest of the year we wouldn't even consider buying because it's too expensive or it's just bad for us. But it reveals that we're looking for something more. We want something a bit more special from life. And Christmas provides that opportunity to celebrate, to live the dream, to feel special. And the lights and the foods and the gifts make us feel happy for a few days at the end of the year. But before we know it, January hits. The lights go out. The batteries fade on the toy. The toy stops working. The family leaves. We return to real life. And all our problems, the pain, the hurt, the sadness, loneliness of real life, it's all still there, unchanged. I don't know if you've heard of the term Blue Monday. It's the third Monday of January, and it's officially been labelled the most depressing day of the year. Third Monday of January. And actually, for some people, though, Christmas just heightens the pain of real life. Because when we're supposed to feel jolly and Christmassy and full of joy, the sadness, the loneliness and hopelessness, it's just amplified all the more for them. Because life is messy, isn't it? Now today, if you're being hosted for lunch, I'm sure your host for dinner has set up a beautiful Christmas table. Here's ours. They've put out all their best cutlery, nice shiny plates, maybe a few crackers, some candles lit, the lights on the tree. But having laid it out all beautifully, it doesn't take very long for it to become a complete mess, does it? By the time we've finished with the crackers, eating our food and spilt a few drinks, it's left a mess, isn't it? And maybe the old man, Pete, has fallen asleep in his dish. And after dinner, the one who made it look beautiful is then the one who's left to clear it all up, tidy it all up, and everybody else who's made that mess has gone off to make a mess somewhere else. Well, this is a good illustration of the world, isn't it? God gave us a beautiful world, but we've made a mess of it, haven't we? And Christmas is a celebration that God came down into the mess to clean it up and to put it right again. In our culture, as I said, we've made the Christmas story cute and fluffy and comfy with our nice shiny hay bales here. But this is not what the first Christmas was like at all. Jesus was born in that dirty old barn, surrounded by hay and mud and smelly farm animals. And surely that is not the place for the creator of the whole world, the King of Kings, to be born in, is it? And not only that, but in the historical narrative that follows the Nativity, the bits that we're not quite so familiar with, we read about how King Herod, desperate to get rid of this new king, tries to seek him out in order to destroy him. As a result, Jesus' family flees. They become refugees in Egypt. And a massacre then takes place in Bethlehem as Herod seeks to kill Jesus. Does any of that sound familiar? Tyrannous rulers, refugee crisis, bloodshed and death amidst political unrest. Jesus is born in the grim reality of this world. Forget the cozy Christmas card images. Forget the neat nativity plays. For the moment Jesus is born, his life is under threat. Why would God want to come and experience such things? Why would God stoop so low? Because as God steps down into our mess, he brings a message that reveals he is the Messiah come to sort out the mess. The mess can only be put right when our relationship with God is fixed. When we have peace with God. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the Son of God who came to put our relationship with God right again. You see, the heart of the human problem is the human heart. Our hearts rebel against God. We live as if we are the creator, as if we are the King of Kings. And this leads to a mess. But God didn't leave us that way. In fact, God didn't leave us at all. We left God. We can all see that there are huge problems in the world. I don't need to convince you of that, I'm sure. In fact, I don't know if you know, but the word of the year 2018, toxic. Personally, socially, globally, there are problems at every level, aren't there? Now, there are many people, no doubt many amongst you, that who are doing what they can to alleviate those symptoms of strife. The big question is, what causes the symptoms? You see, if you're only trying to alleviate the symptoms, the problem is really never going to go away, is it? But if you deal with the root cause, that is going to deal with the heart of the matter. The big question, therefore, is, what is the root cause of everything that is wrong in the world today? Well, the Bible shows us, it's our heart. The word to describe that heart condition is sin. It's the result of us turning away from God, doing things our own way. But our sin has consequences. It disconnects us from God. And that's why some people ask, where is God? But God didn't separate himself from us. We separated ourselves from him. God didn't reject us. We rejected him. And that's why Jesus came to this world. To do something about it. Those verses again. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Let's just stop for a minute. Give me your full attention for a minute. If you've drifted off, maybe you've started thinking about the turkey cooking at home. Maybe you're thinking about the presents you've already unwrapped that you're desperate to get back to. Or maybe you've got other issues on your mind at the moment. Let's just stop. Because this is the most important, most wonderful thing that we could possibly consider. God, the creator of the world, the one who sits on a throne in a perfect heavenly kingdom, comes down to the mess of this world to reveal himself and to put it all right. That's just awesome. The Christmas story reveals more about God than we could ever have possibly imagined. It shows us what sort of God he is. When God stepped into the mess of the world, he came to show us what he's all about. He comes as a baby. He lowers himself to become a human, and he comes to serve. It doesn't say, although he was God, he did this. It says, because he is God. Because this is what God is like. He is a God who is in his very nature so other person-centered that he would lower himself to be born in a manger used for feeding animals. And of course we know he humbled himself even further. Verse 8 goes on to say, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He is a God who loves us so much that he would come down and suffer as a man, even to the point of death, to save us from the eternal death and separation that we all face. Our world is a mess because we don't live as God wants us to. We don't live with him and others in the right place, loving them first. And this has disastrous results. Well, maybe that's all too real for you this Christmas. Maybe Christmas is not that joyful, merry time that it should be because of the mess of this world. Maybe it's all too real and you are suffering terribly at this time. But the wonder of Christmas is that God does not leave us in our mess. He steps in into that mess and brings a message that reveals he is the Messiah come to sort out the mess. And he puts the mess right by dealing with the root issue, our broken relationship with God. Well, I really hope you have a wonderful Christmas and you enjoy all the lights and the food and the tingly feelings. But I also hope as January hits, as the third Monday of January hits, the wonderful news about Christmas will remain a reality for you. And that you continue to celebrate the promise of real hope and joy and truth that only Jesus can bring. Because his promise of forgiveness and relationship with him is the only thing that can ever really satisfy us. And it lasts forever. It's not the script that I would have written, because it's too wonderful. I don't think I could have ever conceived of God being like this. The Christmas story imparts to us a truth about God that turns all our expectations and assumptions on their heads. That the God who made this world became a man. And that he would suffer for us. I'm just going to read this quote from a lady called Anne Voskamp. So God throws open the door of this world and enters as a baby, as the most vulnerable imaginable, because he wants unimaginable intimacy with you. What religion ever had a God that wanted such intimacy with us that he came with such vulnerability to us? What God ever came so tender we could touch him, so fragile that we could break him, so vulnerable that his bare beating heart could be hurt? Only the one who loves you to death. Wow. Merry Christmas. Let's spend a few minutes in quiet now reflecting on that wonderful truth, and then we're going to sing together again.